Good morning. Ed is under the weather, so I'm going to tackle this on my own. If God were sending us a text, this would have been filled with little heart emojis because the word heart and love is written so many times that that's what this would have been if God had sent us a text. God is love. This is John reading 4:7-19. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed amongst us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the anointing sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and to testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has shown us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whomever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he loved us. So be to God. Amen.
I invite you to bow your heads as we pray together. Lord, we thank you indeed for this day that you've given us as we stand at the beginning of a new year. I thank you that we can be together in your presence this morning. We're so grateful for you, for your word, and we invite you to speak to us and encourage us this morning. If there's anything that might come in the way or prevents us from doing that, I pray that your Spirit will remove that and open our hearts and our lives to receive your message today. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we are at the beginning of a brand new year, and for the last few weeks we have been talking about God's gift exchange. He exchanges our despair for the gift of hope. He exchanges our anxiety for his gift of peace. He exchanges our sorrow for the gift of his joy. He exchanges our darkness for the gift of his light. So what about our fears? But let me check in with you and ask you, what is the one thing you fear most for this year to come? I mean, what is your biggest fear for the year 2025? And I don't want to pull it out of you like I tried with the children, okay? So, anybody? What's your biggest fear for 2025, Andy?
Getting sick.
Anybody else?
War.
Fear of war.
I'm thinking war and diseases.
war, diseases.
No fear.
The fear of no fear.
No fear. There's just no fear because we have God.
So you do not fear. Okay, got it. Anybody else? If you're like most people, then chances are pretty good that you've been battling one or many fears throughout your life. Because so many of us are living in fear. And one of life's common fears is the fear of loss, the fear of losing something that's important to you. So if you're married, you may be afraid of losing your spouse. Or if you're a parent, maybe at some point you felt the fear of losing a child or something happening to a child. Or maybe for you it's the fear of financial loss, the fear of losing an investment or a job. For some it's simply the fear of losing control. The fear of loss, health, is very real. There's also the fear of failure, of being afraid that we're going to be inadequate. There's the fear of rejection. We go through life worried that people are going to reject us. And a very common fear is the fear of the unknown. You know, what's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen in 2025? All those what ifs in life. What if this? And what if that? What if this happens? What if that happens? But something that we don't talk about often or really think about that much is we can also fear the other. We can fear those who are different from us. And fear can actually lead us into hating the people that God created. Here's the thing, though. Fear loses its power when we receive the gift of love, when we receive the gift of God's love. And it says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. It says where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. When we made complete in love, and God wants us to exchange our fear for His love. Now, it's not like there is no fear any longer, okay? Fear is a part of life and will always be part of our existence. Its power lies in not being able to control it. Love, however, reminds us that no matter how much fear we have in our lives, that God is always with us. And if there's one word that probably describes who God is more than anything else, it's the word love. God is love. And those three words have so much beauty and have so much power. And sometimes we think love is only a feeling. But love is not just a feeling. If you've been in a long-term relationship, or if you have children, you know that love is more than just a feeling. Love is a process. Love is an action. Love is a choice that we make and need to make every day. A choice we have to make in the midst of fear, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of despair, and in the midst of regret. Love bursts through the boundaries that fear creates. Now, every Sunday, we're reminded of the greatest commandment. It is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And everything begins with the love of God. And the love of God comes in all places and spaces to all people. So let me share just a few thoughts on this passage by John. It says in verse 12, no one has ever seen God. However, God showed his love for us when he sent his only son into the world to give us life. Real love isn't our love for God, but his love for us. So what we see is that God's love for us is tied to him sending Jesus to be born at Christmas. Him, God, becoming flesh in the form of a human being. And even though we have never actually seen God, Jesus reveals God's love for us in a way that we can see and actually understand. God sent his son to be the savior of the world. We saw his son and are now telling others about him. So Jesus reveals God's love for us in person, in the flesh. And because no one has ever seen God, we rely on what Jesus shows us about who God is. And what Jesus shows us more than anything else is love. You know, some people get very uncomfortable when you talk about God. As a matter of fact, why don't you try it at your next party, okay? Bring God into the conversation and see what happens. And I think one of the reasons people react that way is because they don't know God, and so they're afraid of God. It says in verse 18, for fear has to do with punishment. And one of the things that makes us afraid is the thought of being punished. And some people have this image of God as the ultimate punisher or unknown being. They may have been taught to be afraid of what God will do by people who use fear to intimidate or to cast judgment. But I see something completely different. Because when I look at Jesus' life and his ministry and his death for the sins of the world and his resurrection, it tells a different story about who God is. It tells me, God shows me that God is love. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so when you open up your heart and your life for God's love, it transforms your relationship to him and your understanding of who he actually is. And when God enters your life and his love truly comes into your heart, then his love will triumph over fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So we can exchange our fear for love. And love has power to triumph over fear. And when love is strong enough, it can push someone to do things they normally wouldn't do due to fear. I mean, a person who's terrified of heights chooses to climb a mountain to rescue a loved one who's stranded at the top. And somehow their love for that person outweighs their fear of falling. Or a mother rushes into a burning building to save her child despite the immense fear of fire and potential injury. Or two people from different backgrounds choose to be together despite facing disapproval from family or community due to their love for each other. But it goes even deeper than that with God's love in our hearts. Because when you're deeply rooted in your faith and believe in God's unconditional love, you can somehow somehow find the strength to confront fears. Why? Because you know that God is always present and will guide you and carry you through difficult situations and times. Maybe you have to face a significant challenge or crisis like a life-threatening illness. And instead of succumbing to overwhelming fear, you find strength and you find peace. And you find it by focusing on the unwavering love and support of God. And you believe that even in the face of hardship, you're not alone. And you're ultimately protected by God's care. And it is this trust in God's love that allows you to overcome your fear and navigate to find courage through the difficult situation. Or maybe when you lose a loved one and the grief and fear of the unknown can be overwhelming. But by leaning on your faith and the belief that your loved one is in God's hands, you can find solace. And you can find peace in His love and care. Because God's love has the power to triumph over fear. He can exchange your fear for love. But there's one other thing in this passage that I need to address. It also says, beloved, let us love one another. Because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. For God is love. It says we must love each other. I mean, it can be a comfortable feeling to be with people who think like you do. People who act the way you do. People who have similar beliefs as you. People who look like you. But this passage, John, speaks to a time when people were struggling with what it meant to be community. What it meant to reach outside of that community to people who were perceived as different. We hear the message, you know, so often that we should be afraid of the other. We need to fear the lunatics on the left and the lunatics on the right. We need to fear the criminals who are supposedly streaming across our borders. We need to fear people of other religions. We need to fear the homeless. And the list goes on. But this passage tells us that we should love each other. And if you don't love, you don't know God, because God is love. And it's not just loving those who are like you and who you're comfortable with. It means we need to change the boundaries in our own community. We need to widen the circle of comfort and extend divine love to everyone. We love because God loved us first. Fear is the opposite of love. Love triumphs over fear. Andy pointed out something when she did the passage, read the passage. She talked about emojis. And this text would be full of heart emojis if God sent a text. But it's true. The word love is used over 20 times in these 12 verses. So what it is, it's a call to action. So here's a challenge for you and me. How can we use or show love 20 times in this coming week? Do you think that'll be easy or Do you think that'll be hard? Jesus invites us to love even those who are difficult or who we might consider enemies. So find a way to show love to one difficult person this week. And that's not showing love to yourself, by the way. Right? Can you just imagine what our community and what our country, what the world would look like if people chose love over fear? Amen. Merciful God, thank you for love, that you are love. Thank you for the way in which you loved us, which we will again experience today as we celebrate communion with one another and with you. As we remember that ultimate sacrifice of your Son through your love and his love for us. Help us also to know that if we do not love, that you do not abide in us. May we open our hearts and our lives for your love to come in and fill us and overflow to not just the people close to us, but to everybody, for us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In your Son's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.